May 19th, 2019, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. I will see Brother Matt Thursday. Right now I'm in my pad, but not man alone mode, because those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software. I got with me Daniela DiPicciotto.
Yep.
Okay. You know, the double C's, even though I play with two Italian guys, I'm always fucking it up, so great. I got it right. And she's, talking to me from Berlin. So welcome aboard, Daniela.
Excuse me?
Welcome aboard.
The Walker thank Pedro. You.
We started the show off with John Coltrane. I always start the show off with John Coltrane. In fact, last week was me and Brother Matt, 18 years doing this show. They're all archived, TWFPS.com. I'm a dreamer, aren't we all, John Coltrane? And then we heard Per Aspera ad Astra, Daniela DiPicciotto. Daniela, what's your earliest music memory?
My earliest music memory is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the soundtrack of Ennio Morricone.
Okay, like that whistling trumpet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this was in your parents' pad?
Yes, that was the first record my father gave me when I think I was six.
What town?
That must have been Washington, D.C.
Okay. And he was military, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my pop was chief in the Navy. So, yeah, he probably moved around a bunch. Was your mom or pop or anybody in your family players?
Not really, no. No.
But listeners.
Actually not at all.
So in the house, there's not really instruments.
No, I mean, we had a piano. My mother liked to try playing piano once in a while, but nobody really did any music.
She didn't, or you weren't curious to, like, try it or take lessons or something?
Oh, yeah, I did. I started taking piano lessons when I was five, and I started playing violin when I was 9 and a half. I got lessons, so okay. I actually was the only one that was doing music.
But so you played that piano in the pad. How was your experience with the piano teacher, because on this show we've had huge variety of experiences with piano teachers, all the way from great to like made me run away from music kind of thing.
Well, with me it was kind of more run away from music, because the piano and the violin. Yeah, because I had really strict teachers. My violin teacher used to hit me with the violin bow on the fingers and tell me, you know, do it again and again, and I was scared. I was scared. I was really terrified of her. Yeah. My piano teacher was a little nicer, but he was pretty strict, too. So both of them.
You did the piano first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what made you want to go to, was it something in school? Were you in the school bands?
Yeah.
Like the orchestra?
I just liked music from the start. And I sang a lot in the choir, school choirs. I was always like soprano.
Yeah, sure. Because I always ask about school, because a lot of schools over here, they've cut the music programs.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's why Flea opened up his Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. He went back to Fairfax High, where he played trumpet. They didn't have any music program.
Wow.
So I ask about this. You know, it's different everywhere. Everybody's got their own journey. But you got to do it in school with choir and violin.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you were in the orchestra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in the orchestra with the violin, and I sang in the choir. I was doing music all the time in school. That
would
be
terrible. You probably didn't do marching band.
No, I didn't.
I remember a lot of violins in the marching band.
No.
Although there's some schools over here, because they got, like, kind of mariachi versions, and there are violins.
Yeah?
Believe it, in the marching bands. Yeah, I've seen them at the Lunar Parade in Chinatown, and it's a trip. I mean, music's music, right? Whatever it takes.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
I was actually doing more classical music back then, and wasn't as much fun as I had hoped it would be.
No, but they taught you how to read and, you know, and harmonies and stuff like that. Well, but what about on your own, like after school with friends in the basement or the garage or bedroom? Did you do those kind of bands?
Well, I was always kind of a loner, so I would sit at the piano for hours singing on the top of my voice, reading music and playing all kinds of different songs and stuff, trying to compose a little bit. So I was pretty much on my own a lot, and I really spent a lot with music.
Okay. So it was a woman alone on the piano. Not so much Woman Alone on the violin.
Yeah, no, on the piano more.
Yeah, more on the piano. Look, I want to play this song here, Survivors. That sounds like you were. Okay.
Sometimes, when I'm sitting alone in the subway or in the cafeteria or on a plane watching people, I have to think of the fact that we live on a planet which is racing through a mysterious black universe of which we know nothing except that it is endless, and that we are a mere tiny particle lost in this vast realm, hurtling around a fireball. And yet we do our chores, we feed our cats, try to survive taxes, politicians, and talk shows, pointedly ignoring the fear that hovers over our heads, balancing the sky and the heavens, with nothing to hold on to except each other. And in spite of this impossible situation, we believe in justice, in honesty and decency, and that there will be a happy end. And I feel touched by the fact that we are so weak and yet so tenacious, so ignorant, and yet so hopeful, that we refuse to give up or in. And I look around and see the lined faces, the gray hair, the heavy bags, the worn-out shoes, and am amazed that the magical spark of survival is always there, willing to overcome, to stubbornly resist all odds. And I feel a wave of awe sweep away my doubts and worries, and I feel a joy so strong that I suddenly believe there could be a happy end in spite of it all.
Motherfucker possibly see. Ooh, baby, baby, I'm gonna be afraid you're gonna touch me.
Well, I'm not in this world. Oh, I can't even see you.
Baby, won't you come help me? Pour some Drano down and get the plunger right after me. I'll let you know a little secret, baby. I'm getting tired of all this pee. Mother Goose. Ooh, my head's in the news.
Meet it, wee wop.
Watt for Bieber Show. That's Survivor.
This is Danielle Di
Picciotto. I hear a little echo. Sometimes Skype does that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you'll get like a little reflection, duplex.
Yeah.
It's usually from bad connect. Then we had the Rinklin Brothers, which is Joe Dean and George Hurley. Got to play with them a couple weeks ago and doing a cover Can Vitamin C. Georgie's version of Jackie. All right. Guy by Voices after that was Vito Pariah. I think Bob is working on his 104th album or something. Guy, man, he can write songs. Believe me. And then I found something. I think it's the first recording Cap Beefheart did with Frank Zappa. And Frank's brother Bobby, too, was on guitar. Late 50s, called Lost in the Whirlpool. I think it's about falling in the toilet, swimming around or something. Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal after that, Generation Z, Safe Word with Relapse, Lord, HYS, but doesn't have dots, so maybe it ain't an acronym, maybe it's HISS, the first part of Hysteria, maybe, I don't know. Mike Rignetta, he probably didn't know, Puzzle Pieces 5 and 6, Arabia Saudade, out of Milano with Dubai, and finally, Dancing in the Rain. Daniela Di Picciotto. Did you do music after school? Like college, I mean? That kind of school?
No. Well, I mean, I did in a way. That's when I kind of moved to Germany, and I was playing violin too a little bit. But it got less because the teachers really turned me off. So I had a phase until I moved to Berlin of about 4 years where I just completely stopped doing music because I didn't want to do any more of the classical stuff and I didn't know how to get into the other stuff.
Right.
And then when I came to Berlin, everything started moving really fast.
Like you started playing with people, like that stuff I was asking about in high school and junior high. You started playing with people, right? Artists.
Exactly.
Types and not so much from academia, maybe more raw, more street.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the first band I was in was a crossover hip hop rock band called Space Cowboys, mm-hmm. and I started singing there and playing keyboards.
Ah, so you used your stuff from choir.
Yep.
Okay, and start singing in Berlin. And so what time are we talking? Period.
Well, when I moved to Berlin in '87.
Okay, so it's still the Kreuzberg thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, SO36 was the first place I played there with Black Flag and Minuteman in the early 80s.
Nice.
In February.
Oh, cold.
Yeah, Kalt.
It was
especially
cold.
For living in California all this time. So,
oh, yeah.
It was like, but you know, it was our first time ever to Europe, so it was. And especially that place, because it was like an island at that time. And it was quite an experience.
Yeah.
In those days, when you did a Europe tour, half the gigs were in this place called West Germany.
Right.
Yeah. If people don't know that, it was a lot different. It was, I don't know, they had a lot of these teen centers that were probably funded from money over here. And you play at 7:30, usually no opening bands. Berlin was much different, though. Berlin stayed open late. It was just much different than the rest of this West Germany place. It was called West Berlin, by the
right.
way. I finally played that because I hadn't played West Berlin in a long time since kind of those days, you know, because everything moved to the east where it was more Moricano. So, and I know, where did I play there? After SO36, it was a lady running the gig. She had a place called Loft.
Oh, yeah.
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 God, what was her name? Bonnie or... Not my memory sometimes, but I did a lot of gigs for her.
And, Monica Dürer.
Loft was right there in that kind of area, too.
Yeah.
And
Monica. Her name was Monica Dürer.
That's her right. Monica. Her name was Monica.
She's still around. She's
still,
like 90 now.
Right. She's like 80?
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah, that's an inspiration. Bitching.
Yeah.
She was always so good to us. And, oh, man. And, I'll tell you, Berliners, it was a very exciting time, I can imagine. What attracted you to go there?
Well, actually, by accident. I went to visit a friend And she was living in this huge factory loft, and there were like, it was huge. It was like 600 square feet, like Quadratmeter, and it cost 30 marks a month, which is about $15. And there were a couple of musicians. Nick Cave's keyboard player was playing there back then, the former keyboard player, Roland Wolf. And I went and visited them, and it was like heaven. I was like, wow, because I was coming from New York, and New York in the 80s was pretty, you know, dangerous. And there in Berlin, it was really cheap. It wasn't dangerous. And they said, you want to stay? You can sleep in our the little cupboard over the bathroom where they would store their suitcases. And they said, you can sleep there. And I was like, okay, I'm staying.
Boy, a little bit cold right in the winter time. Sometimes in Berlin, it seems the sun likes to stay away a little bit in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it is amazing. I mean, especially collected as a magnet for people, creative people. Kind of like the New York thing. You're right. In those days, of course, things changed with the Susamen, you know, everything coming together. And maybe the rent's not that cheap anymore.
Nope. Oh, no. It's going up. Yeah, in fact, they're saying it's going to become the most expensive city in Germany in the next 10 years. The rents are flying upwards really fast.
It's not good. The East part.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's not as bad as New York yet, and probably not as bad as L.A. either, but it's slowly getting there.
There's parts, like downtown and Pasadena. I mean, I could pay $1,000 a month for a two-bedroom apartment in the harbor, but I'm like 28 miles south of those people.
Right.
You want to be with other young people, not longshoremen.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to be paying like Manhattan prices. It's crazy about this. And the city, too, San Francisco. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're thinking, you know, parts of these pads are kind of creative things, too. And if, especially younger people that are creative, it's hard for them to come to town with a big bundle of geld.
Right.
And so,
I mean, it's not easy for older musicians either.
Absolutely. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
The one good thing about New York City was some of those pads had the rent control, right?
Right.
And they could do that.
Same here.
And they can kind of age with the neighborhood.
Right.
But this gentrified thing is like people getting shoved out. So, were these the Cowboys?
Space Cowboys.
Do you remember the first gig with them?
Yes. It was in this really small venue in, there's like a park called Kreuzberg Park. And in that park, there's like a small venue that has a little children's zoo with like goats and hens and chickens and stuff like that. And they asked me to play on one song. They wanted to check me out. And all I had to do was scream, "There's life on Mars," really loudly. And I did, and it was really great. And so they said after that, you were good at that. You're the singer now.
With the goats there and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, trippy. Very trippy.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Well, you got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly.
And then did you guys practice in that giant room?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's a lot of rehearsal spaces in Berlin, and back then there were even more, so we got like another rehearsal space and rehearsed there, and I would rehearse all the time with them, so yeah.
That was a heavy period for the birthday party guys, right? What was it, the Zoo Bahnhof?
Yeah.
A lot of dope and shit, right?
Yeah.
Not too healthy times, but fuck, somehow, Nick, you know, I saw him a couple of years ago with a buddy of mine. Larry's playing with him now, who's lived in Berlin a long. He's a cat from Knoxville, but he maybe 10
years. All right,
years
I know
ago.
Larry.
You Larry know Larry?
Yeah,
he did
sure.
The last couple of years with the Stooges because Scotty, you know, got sick.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I got to, Larry's an incredible guy. He's right now with Dave Katchen in Joshua Tree.
Oh, really?
I think he's going to go up. He's part of this Red Room thing that does David Lynch music orchestra.
Oh.
So he's going to do that up in the city, and then he's going to come down here for some sessions. But, you know, he's been living in Oslo, but he's also been spending a lot of time back in Berlin. And he's got a buddy.
Who's
the candy bomber at Tempelhof?
Exactly. Ingo.
Ingo, that's his name. The bass man. Exactly. With all this old righteous stuff.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Larry took me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were playing, I think, Spandau or some shit. The Stooges was like the last year of doing gigs. And he took me there to meet him and see all the old stuff. And incredible.
Nice.
Incredible. One day I want to record there if I get the shot, chance at it. Did you get to record with the Space Cowboys?
Yeah, we recorded an EP and an album called Locked and Loaded. And then we had the typical kind of story that an English MCA wanted to sign us, and then they flew us into England, and we signed up and everything, and the A&R guy disappeared, and then we were kind of loaded with a lot of debts, and nobody would take us, so the band kind of fell apart in 95.
Oh, man. Now, was that your first kind of recording?
Yes, that was the first time.
Wow, and so you're going to take the big major label ride right off the bat.
Exactly.
And then you get to find
Exactly. So we had a bit of a bad luck streak there, and yeah, so that was that.
So what, I mean, it knocked you down, but what'd you do after that?
Well, I just started looking for different people to do music with. I started trying to record my own solo album. I did songs with De Hout. Do you know De Hout?
Sure, man. Yeah. And some of those guys play with Nick. I think the drummer,
exactly.
Man, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's really good.
Yeah,
good guys. Abvarts. I remember bands. Mufti, I think, was in that. Some of these guys who went on to Einstürzende, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you're saying after the thing in England, you went back to Berlin to try to do your own trip, play with. Okay.
Yeah.
And how'd that work out?
That was okay, but I couldn't really find anybody I felt 100% comfortable with until I started recording with Alex, which was like in 2001. So I had a couple of years where I was kind of trying out all kinds of different things and also doing a lot of art at the same time, because I also do art. I paint a lot, and so it was kind of like a time where I was just trying to find the right person to do music with. When Alex and I started doing music, that was the person I felt comfortable doing music with.
Right. But with Roland, he was with Einstürzende. Was he with them when they played in the desert here, Southern California?
Roland Wolf? No, yeah. he was Big Cave's
Bad Seeds, that's right.
Yeah, he was Bad Seeds, but he died in 95 of a car accident.
Yeah, now I remember. It's Conrad, the guy who just passed away.
Exactly, and we started working on my solo album together, and then he basically died in between that, so that was kind of like, took me about a year to recover from that.
Yeah, terrible. That's where Larry helped out, in a way.
Yeah.
Because he's actually a drummer, man, but he stepped in for keyboard and that stuff, synthesizer.
Yeah.
Man, a lot of bad luck.
Yeah.
Especially with Australian musicians, a couple of the guys from Beast of Bourbon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know what? I think when we move into this age zones, it's just maybe the statistic thing.
Yeah.
But it's rough, man. I never get used to it. I can imagine it taking you a year.
Yeah.
And some of this stuff comes up really quick. Like the bass man for the Dills.
Totally.
It was like a couple months. It just, this pancreatic cancer shit. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
So, okay. When you came back with that, God, that was in 95. That's almost 25 years ago.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but when I think about that, you know, I think what I think was when we were more younger, things changed quicker. I think as time has gone on, things kind of, in the music world kind of changed slower. In those days, things right away, right? There was a new thing, another thing. Now it seems things are more stretched out.
Everything's crossover. I think that's why everything's like intermingled, and they're all doing, like, you know, so it's somehow you don't notice change that fast. I mean, I remember, like, when I moved to Berlin in 87, it was more of a rock city, and then in the 90s, it suddenly became techno.
Right.
And, you know, and then 2000s, everything was crossover. It's kind of stayed crossover ever since. There's not been, like, a completely new music style like it did when techno started, or when, you know, in the 80s. It was more defined back then, I think.
I agree with you. It's at the end of the first hour, May 19th, 2019 edition of Wat Pedro Show. Special guest, Daniela Di Picciano. Hold tight for hour two. May 19th, 2019, it's the second hour of the Wat Pedro Show. For Peter, so we started the second hour off with Daniela Di Picciato with Et Are Pure, some Francais there, sorry, pardon moi. And then Masayuki Imanishi and Marco Serrano with Number Two, that's his collab, Marco out of Sevilla. And the Odes, which is Ted Milton from Blurt, who's, you know, in his 70s and kicking like Kato. Skies Are Bruised, and then Hail, Daniela Di Picciato. So, you know, I'm playing stuff from your new, that you gave me, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did this stuff come about?
For my album?
Huh?
For my album?
Yeah. The stuff I've been playing, Hail and The Rain Survivors, yeah.
How did it come about?
Yeah, because you were telling me, you come back to do this after the big label roller coaster, rock and roller coaster ride. Then you come back, and then your solo thing is kind of, you know, a little roadblock because of the bad health. And then,
well, I mean, I always, you know, I wanted to do my first solo album in '96, and then Roland died, and I kind of said, okay, I'm gonna wait until it's the right time. And I waited for a long time because then when I started working with Alexander Hacke in 2001, we started just doing stuff together, and we did that for a long time. And at one point I was thinking, like, I'd really like to actually finally do that solo album. So that was 2015, and I did my first solo album, which was called Tacoma, named after my birthplace, Tacoma. And
did you go there much?
Really good reactions. I only went back once. I was born there, but my father was transferred 3 months later, so I never actually got to see it. And then a couple of years ago, I thought I should really go back and discover my hometown. So I did go back, and I actually liked it.
You know, if you do I-5 tour, right, Interstate 5 is the big north-south-west freeway. You always go through there if you're going to play between Portland and Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not saying you're going to play Tacoma, but you're going to drive because it's the south part of the sound. It's bigger than a bay, right? It's a huge sound. And at one point, it used to be bigger in Seattle. But there's a great guitar store there called Guitar Maniacs, a guy named Rick King. So Just if you go back through there, stop at Rick King's Guitar Maniac, because it's a great.
Okay.
I don't know if you like old synthesizers and old guitars, and but he's got stuff
absolutely
like that.
Oh,
you know what band was from there was the Sonics.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The keyboard man still lives there. but the,
yeah,
you know, we're going to play. That's trippy,
album.
You said Tacoma, because that's the last song we're going to play of the show, but we ain't there yet. So that was your first solo record. And now tell me, what was the process? How did you make the tunes?
Well, basically, when I was recording it, I was in Hudson Valley because we were doing a residency there. And I basically just sat in this room where there was a huge drum set and my violin and my computer and a field recordings, and I did a couple of things on the drum. I just worked with sound a lot. I like working with sound and with lyrics and then kind of go from there.
Well, this place where you were doing it, was that actually where it was recorded, where it was captured?
Part of it, not all of it, part of
it. So you didn't really make demos, right?
Not at all.
Yeah. So these things that you created, they ended up being the final baby, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't like them. I don't like sketches either. I either start painting immediately or start composing immediately. I don't like those things.
I don't like
demos.
No, you think there's a, because when you stopped that music, you went to painting, right? So for you, they're just two different ways to do expression, right?
Right.
That's the way I see it, too. I think it's really weird the way we split up, you know, visual, sounds. Why can't they be more united, you know?
I agree. Because, you know, you've got eyes and you've got ears.
Sure.
You see and hear all the time at the same time. Why should you have to split up the, you know, the stuff that comes out? With your creativity, why does it have to be only one? So
one big example, movies.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, I want to play Grace here. Okay.
Thank you. wanna die any more. My love wasn't true. Now all I have is you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I don't wanna die alone. Leave me here, left to die.
That's great. From Daniela Di Picciotto. After that, Spain with Spiritual Life, God's House from Red Mass, and finally Pilgrim, Daniela Di Picciotto. I'm curious about the titles. When do they come, last or first? Or in the middle?
The titles come last.
They come last.
Definitely last.
Almost everybody I ask says that. But with Juan, he always has to have titles first because he has no focus otherwise.
Oh, really? Wow.
I know, everybody says, what the fuck's that about? But that's just the way I ended up doing it. Well, you know, I come from, we were influenced by this band Wire, so we wrote these really tiny songs. So it was, you know, you had to constantly be innovating because the songs didn't take up that much time. So I think that's what helped me a bit, is just having titles.
I saw Wire play in Berlin a couple of years ago together with Einstürzende Neubauten.
Wow.
And Kaspar Brötzmann, actually.
Wow. The oldies tour.
Yeah.
Can you believe that music's considered oldies?
It's incredible.
Yeah, when I think oldies, I think of, you know, lowrider cars and hearing doo-wop. Yeah. Here in town in Pedro. And actually, our music from the 80s and 70s is like, oldies. Yeah, the perspective is trippy. And so the second one, the solo record.
Yeah.
How did it differ from the first?
The first one was a little bit more instrumental. This one turned out to be more lyrics. And I kind of surprised myself because I don't do demos. I kind of just see what happens. I start working and the things come out depending on where I am and what's bothering me or what I like at the moment. And I started working on it and I suddenly realized that I was writing all these lyrics about what's happening in the world at the moment. And actually, I had wanted to do more of an instrumental record again. But I figured, okay, if I'm like so disturbed with everything that's happening, I might as well just let it roll. And I just did the lyrics that came out. So it became a lot more spoken wordy than the one before.
And then thematically, it's kind of like thinking out loud.
Yeah, kind of like that.
And how's the editing thing on your CD? Do you like to second guess yourself, go back? And
I work a lot on it. I don't like do first takes with spoken word. I work a lot on the lyrics, and they could have been a lot longer. Let's put it this way.
Do you take inspiration for somebody? Because you do have your own way of doing this.
Well, not really. I just kind of do it the way it comes out. I try not to be inspired.
Well, I don't mean to copy people.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that. But, it's just got some wheels going or something like that.
Yeah, it just kind of goes. I don't know, just starts. I'm really picky, so I really work on it a lot until I like it, and just work and work and work until it's like, boom, that's the way I like it. That's all I can say.
There was this guy who did spoken word named Joe Frank, passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering if you were aware of his work.
Absolutely.
Man, could those spiels would... Spiel, but not the German, but like the old Yiddish, right?
Yeah,
amazing. With the Germans, they always think, play or gamble or some shit. And when we say spiel, it's more like your pitch, right?
Right. Yeah.
And Joe Frank, his spiels, they would draw you in. They were pretty incredible, some of those things, man. I couldn't, like they'd be on the radio in the car, right? And you just parked in front of your pad and just listening in your fucking coaching.
Right. Exactly.
Listening to him. And I heard he had a weird malady where if he didn't take a medicine every few hours, he'd be puking.
He's really?
Always under the threat of puking his brains out.
Oh, God.
And that might have motivated maybe some of his technique or whatever, the way he did his spiel. That guy, William S. Burroughs, him too, he would draw you in with the spiels. I mean,
wow, so yeah, good Burroughs. With that stuff.
And I think he was just reading out of his Naked Lunch shit. And,
Uh-huh.
You know, but he had the character with the voice that was pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the second and the second hour of May 19, 2019 edition Watt and Peter Show. Hold tight for hour three. May 19, 2019, it's the third hour, Watt and Peter Show.
Where and how you'll arrive.
From day to day, with high temperatures ranging from the lower 40s to the lower 50s. Even though winter has begun,
if you do not travel safely, you may never arrive.
Several days back, you'll feel more like Mr. Rapper.
The path is the goal.
Then off and on, rain showers during the afternoon hours. High 43 Fahrenheit.
This goal can only be achieved by undertaking the journey.
Clouds with periods of rain. Low around 40 Fahrenheit.
This pathway changes and transforms you. There is no evading it.
Rainfall near a quarter of an inch.
Perseverance, my friend. Yes, there will be heavy storms, but sunshine as well.
Chance of rain 100%.
Every step counts. Perseverance. My friend.
Showers in the evening,
then partly cloudy overnight. Wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain, 80%. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with In Transit, Daniela Di Picciotto. This is from her Tacoma record. Then we heard Lisa Belladonna with Kanawha Falls, West Virginia, and then Luminous, Daniela Di Picciotto. So what about the way you recorded this new one versus the other one? Because obviously you were in a residency. You were in Hudson Valley, upstate New York?
That was Tacoma.
Right.
But with this new one, I wasn't. I was in Berlin.
It was all Berlin.
Yeah.
So where'd you record it?
It in my studio in Berlin, basically.
Do you have a name for it?
Nope, it's just my little studio.
My bad, yeah. That's good.
But, I mean, Alex helped me finish it up, like clean up the sound a little bit in his studio, and his studio is called Studio 65 in Berlin.
Okay. And would you call yourself the producer, too, self-produced?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's important to do that, right?
Yeah.
But Alex comes in, he came in, what, like technical help?
Exactly. I mean, I basically do all my stuff on live on the program, and so then he takes
the software, Appleton or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I do it all with that, and then he takes it, puts it into Pro Tools, and you know they've got a couple of better like I don't know reverbs or whatever, and he helps me a little bit with that. But basically, he just says, you know, you tell me what you like, and I'll do it. He just sees himself as the engineer. Because he wants it to be my sound.
And how long did it take?
It took me about half a year.
See, so we got the luxury to do that now. You know, it's not all the bad new days.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't record it for half a year.
Pad with your stuff, you know? It's exactly. Not like you got to get up to Hollywood and get it all done and two sessions or something.
You know. Oh, right. Oh,
like
God.
Minutemen had to, man. Oh, my God. In the old days, it was so much different. They were like gigs. Yeah, they were kind of like gigs.
Yeah, that's why it took me so long. Like in 96 when I wanted to actually do my first solo album,
yeah.
It was so difficult to be able to do that because, you know, you needed a studio. It was expensive. You needed a record company. You needed, you know, all that stuff.
Right. So people, you know, it's a mixed bag like most things human. They shouldn't get too bummed down. The bad new days. What about the song Awake? Are those Gaiota monks?
No. That's Alexander Hacke.
Okay. Well, is he aware of these guys who sing in Tibet with the throats open?
He's a master throat singer, yeah.
Okay. He's actually knows. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, where's that from? Was it a sample? or? Okay.
No. Really good at it.
Well, tell me about this song, Awake.
Well, Alex and me basically, you know, we became nomads in 2010. We gave up our house in Berlin and we decided that we wanted to kind of like widen our horizons and travel the world. And that kind of influenced our music a lot. We kind of stopped doing songs, but we started doing more stuff that was like soundscapey or score kind of stuff. Yeah, cinematic stuff. And so Awake is kind of the best example of that because it's kind of the feeling of, you know, waking up and kind of opening yourself to the world. So,
sure.
Yeah.
That's balls out. Let's listen.
crazy.
Well, hot from people. Danielle just told me it snowed in Berlin last week. We're talking the middle of May, people. No complaining. No bellyache.
Exactly.
Especially SoCal people. I don't want to hear it. We heard Awake from Danielle DiPicciotto. And love song number 8 from Disuse. I think they're Netherlands. And finally, Tacoma from your first solo record. Where can people find you on the internet?
My webpage, danieledepicciotto.com.
Okay, spell it out for people, please.
DanieledePicciotto.com.
Yeah,
it's a long name.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you got your own website, because that's like having your own fanzine.
Yeah.
And those ethics should never disappear, you know. And everybody meeting up at those other places to put up flyers on those telephone poles, that's okay. But it's so good you got your own website. And now what's your next plan? So, since you're on a life tour.
Well, next we're going to, Alexander and I are going to record another album, we're going to do another album. So in July, we're going to go to Blackpool in England.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a ghost town.
Right.
In the West. You know, Blackpool, right?
In the West, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Kind of Rust Belt thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, has these huge old ballrooms. I think one of them is where Hendrix destroyed his guitar, and you know, Sinatra used to appear there, but it all went downhill, and now it's like one of the poorest areas in England, but they have amazing music places. It's just incredible. So, and it's down and out, and we thought, oh, that's really inspiring, so we're going to go there and record our next album.
And it's going to be under your name?
Haka de Picciotto, because the music that Alexander and I do together is called Haka de Picciotto.
Okay, yeah, which makes sense. It's,
exactly.
It's a duet, yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be our fourth album, basically, coming out. And that's going to come out next year, then.
And how do you get around?
It depends. I mean, we try to take trains. We don't have a car. We're trying to be environmentally conscious, so we don't have a car. We take trains. If we have to, we fly. In general, it's kind of burdensome because we have so many instruments. I play the violin.
I was going to say about equipment. 30,
the auto harp, the cimentia, and he plays bass, drums, and guitars. So we're like schlepping.
How do you schlep all that stuff?
It's insane.
So maybe when you make it to Blackpool, you stay there a little while.
Yeah. Might get hernias otherwise.
Yeah. Got a buddy right now who's got a double hernia. They're having to cut him open and all this shit. But I was reading about Jerry Kerouac. You know, a hernia might have helped kill him. He got in a fight two weeks before he got... Yeah. He wrote a letter to his second wife, and he talked about, like, basically taping a silver dollar to his belly button to keep his intestines from flying out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know. Is that an image? Jesus Christ. I'm not making this shit up. But, look, I love what you're doing, man. And what you and Alexander are doing is great to you. It's a life mission. It's a journey. It's a sally forth.
Yeah, thanks. It's kind of like, you know, if gentrification is going to try to make us give up, well, try again, because we're not. We're going to do everything to keep going, no matter what. So,
it reminds me of the Seventh Seal.
Yeah.
Everybody gets like killed. remember, the old knight distracts death with the chess game to let the... Who's he let escape is the actors, right?
Yeah.
In the little wagon, right? They're going to go on tour. Yeah. They're going to go work the towns. All the rest are all corrupt, and they got to go and do the fucking death dance. But those guys, they're giving them he works it out so they get another shot.
Yeah.
So there's something about the vaudeville tradition, about working the towns. And you're right, if gentrification is going to try to put a stop to artistic expression, then take it to the street. Take it to the other towns.
Exactly. That's what they did in the Middle Ages, too, you know. The musicians traveled the world, so I guess we just have to do that again.
Absolute. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It is a huge honor for me. I wish you guys good luck with the Blackpool recording and the fourth one. When you get it done, can I play it on my show, please?
Oh, please. It would be such an honor, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no. Of course. Right back.
Such a pleasure.
Okay. It's been the May 19th. 2019 edition of Watt Pedro Show. People, keep your powder dry.